Our scripture reading this morning is found from Acts chapter 4, verses 32 through 35. All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and much grace was upon them all. There were no needy persons among them, for from time to time those who owned lands or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone as he had need.
A few weeks ago, I talked about how the early Christians were devoted to fellowship, and I mentioned that in the original language, the word for fellowship doesn't refer to casseroles or potluck dinners, but rather it refers to sharing. To be devoted to fellowship means that you share in or you participate in with a common group of people. And we talked about that the early Christians felt that way because they had a common faith. They all believed that Jesus Christ was the Messiah, and that had bound them together as a community, and they shared in that community. And a tangible way in which they demonstrated that sense of fellowship with one another was that they spent time together. And that often on a regular basis, they were meeting together, whether it was in the temple courts or whether it was in people's homes, but they just spent a lot of time together. This morning, we want to notice another tangible way in which these early Christians demonstrated their fellowship, in that they didn't just share their time, but they also shared their possessions. We're in the middle of a series entitled New Testament Community, where we're looking at the summary statements in Acts chapter 2, chapter 4, and chapter 5 to understand what is the community life that the early Christians shared together, and how can we take the characteristics of that community life and try to bring it forward to the 21st century, to today, to where we can live out the same kind of community life as the early Christians had. And the fifth characteristic that we want to notice is that those early Christians shared their possessions. Notice again what it says in verse 32 of chapter 4. It says, all the believers were one in heart and mind, and no one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but they shared everything they had. That last phrase connects with what Luke says in Acts chapter 2. When he's describing in that summary statement the life of the church, he says in verse 44 of chapter 2, all the believers were together and they had everything in common. That last phrase, had everything in common, is actually the very same phrase that he uses in Acts chapter 4 to describe the early Christians. They had everything in common. They shared everything they had. Now, there might be some of us who start to get a little bit nervous when we start talking about this characteristic. In fact, I would even argue that this is the most controversial characteristic of all that we're going to talk about, because it starts to sound a little bit like communism. Is that what happened in the early church, that people would renounce their personal ownership of their property and it would become communal property? Would people give up the things that they own and allow the apostles to distribute the things that they had to anyone as they had need? It sounds a little socialistic, sounds a little communistic even. Sounds kind of like a cult. That makes us a little nervous. Don't worry, I'm not going to ask you to give all the property to the church today. I don't think that's exactly what Luke is trying to picture for us. Because if you keep reading in Acts 2 and Acts 4, we see that the early Christians did have things that they owned. They had homes that they owned that people would meet in, that they still had property. Barnabas had his own property that he chose voluntarily to sell to give to those who had need. Ananias and Sapphira did the same thing. So I don't think that it was part of wanting the church that you had to give up any sort of personal ownership of property. Instead, I think what Luke is trying to picture for us is that the early Christians, while they owned things, they owned them very loosely. And they were very willing to share what they had. Which leads to a second reason why this characteristic makes us nervous. And that is that I think many of us here, myself included, just don't like to share. We try to teach our kids from a very young age this basic lesson, right? That if you have toys and you have a friend over at your house, you need to be willing to share what you have with your friend. And you can't grab it out of their hand because they happen to pick it up. We share what we have. But I would argue that even when we get to be adults, we still struggle with this simple lesson of learning to share what we have. Because sharing is so complex. Think about this. If I share something of mine with you, then now I'm going to have to start worrying about it. When am I going to get it back? Are you going to give it back in the way that I gave it to you? Or is it going to be damaged in some way? So let's say, for example, that you wanted to borrow my car, and I decided to share my car with you. All of a sudden, that creates a whole lot of problems between me and you. What are you going to do with my car? Are you going to get pulled over by the police? Are you going to wreck it? Are you going to ding it in some way? And by the way, do you have a proper driver's license that's clear? Do you have insurance? What kind of insurance? Do you have insurance at all? And are you going to start asking me for my car over and over again? Is this going to be a recurring thing? Are you going to become dependent upon me and my car? All of these issues start rising up in my mind to where it's just a lot easier and simpler to not share. And to say, sorry. We're not going to do that. I think another reason why we don't like to share is that it just kind of grates against this personal fundamental belief that we have that the things that I own, they are mine. I bought them. I worked for them. I made them. And they're mine. They're not yours. They're mine. And I really don't want to share them to anybody else. We have a rule in our family household that if you warm up food, whether that is through the microwave or through the oven, you get the first chance at eating that food. Now, that is a very important rule because when I have warmed up food before, when the smell wafts through the hallways of our house, all of a sudden there are several people, several mouths there that really want to eat that food. And so that rule is to protect my interest to say, I have worked hard for this food to be warm. I punched those buttons with great clarity on the microwave. And so I get the first chance at eating this food. I did it. I worked for it. It's mine and I don't want to share. And I think there are many of us here who feel that same way down deep inside where it's just a lot easier, it's a lot simpler, and it just makes us feel a lot happier if we don't have to share the things we own. And why is that? Why is that? I think a couple of reasons. I think one reason why sharing is so hard is because we have this strong cultural history that promotes personal ownership of property and an independent spirit. And we believe that we can have a deed, we can have a piece of paper that declares that that house is mine. I signed the papers for it. It's mine. That car, it's mine. I have the deed. I have the title for it. I'm paying the note on it. It is mine. We have a strong belief of that. And because we believe that it is mine and I own it and I independently own it, we want to be in control of it. We really don't want to share it with anyone else. And I think maybe a first step to helping us to be better at sharing is to recognize that while that might be our cultural history, church, that really isn't our faith history. That in Scripture, the emphasis is not on personal ownership of goods. In Scripture, the emphasis is on divine ownership. The world is the Lord's and all that it contains, the psalmist writes. And that we as Christians need to recognize that the things that we have them not because necessarily we put in all the hard work. We have them because God gave them to us. And that my house is actually God's house. My car is actually God's car. The things that I own and possess, they're actually God's possessions that he has given to me and allowed me to be a steward of them. And if they're actually belonging to God and I'm just a steward, that moves me forward. It helps me to take one step to be better at sharing them. be better at sharing them with those that might need them. But I think there's a second reason why we struggle in sharing. And I think that reason that we are constantly hearing from our society and culture that our worth and value in life is based on the things that we own. And it really doesn't matter what age bracket you're in, we hear this message and we feel this pressure all the time. So for our teenagers, it's who has the nicest car when they turn 16 and who has the nicest phone. And we want to have those things because those that have those nice things, they're the cool and popular ones, and our value is wrapped up in the things we own. When we retire from our job, it's the question of who has the nicest retirement setup, who goes on the nicest cruises, the nicest places and vacations. Because I want to have those things. I want to do those things because those that get to do those really nice things, they're really popular people, and my worth is tied up in what I own and possess. Or when we have a young family or a middle family, it's who has the nicest house and who has the nicest car, who has the biggest TV, and who goes on the best vacations. We want to have those things. We want to do those things. We see other people doing them, and they're really popular. And so if I can do those things, then I'll be worth something because our value is tied up in the things we own. It's the world we live in. It's the society we live in. If you want to be something of this world, you've got to possess things. And when you think from that perspective, the point in life becomes to accumulate. And we do a good job of that, don't we? We accumulate more and more stuff. We try to get a better and better job. We try to get a better and higher salary. Why? Because we want to get that nicer house. We want to get that better car. We want to go on a nicer vacation. We want to provide nicer clothes. And so we try to accumulate more and more, thinking this is where worth is found. This is where value is found. If I have the money to buy these kinds of things. And when you are operating from this perspective, you hold pretty tightly to your possessions because they're your worth. That's where your value is found. Why would I share them? I'm going to hold on to them and control them because it's these possessions, this money that gives me worth and value in the world. A couple years ago, I was up in Minneapolis, Minnesota, attending a doctorate seminar, and it just so happened while I was there, the seminary bookstore was having a sale. And the sale was, it was a blowout sale, and the sale was that every book in the bookstore was $1 a piece. Now, I don't know about you, but for a preacher, that's like dying and going to heaven. Every book, $1. It didn't matter if it was a commentary. It didn't matter if it was a Max Lucado book. I mean, it was $1 each. And the reason I figured out about this sale is I was walking by the steps that led down to the bookstore, and there was a lady coming up the steps, and she was walking like this. She had all these books in her hand, and she was walking up the steps, and she looked up, and her eyes caught my eyes, and she said, "Whatever you do, don't go down there." Well, I went down there. And I came back up those steps the same way, carrying as many books as I could. But I had a real problem. I had to get them on a plane and go back and come back home. How am I going to get all these books home? I don't want to pay the baggage claim fee. And so I stick them on all these plastic bags, and I'm walking through the terminal at Minneapolis-St. Paul, and my shoulders are hurting. My neck is strained. I'm carrying all these books. And I start to think to myself, what am I doing? I'm killing myself and breaking my back to bring home these books, many of which I don't even need. And yet, isn't that a metaphor for life? We strain and we stress and we obsess and we break our backs over trying to get more and more stuff, many of which we don't even need. Because we think that in accumulating, we'll have worth and we'll have value. And will mean something, and we hold on to it with all we can. And I think here is the point where the early Christians have something to teach us. Because they understood that their worth and value came from a different place. They recognized that, number one, Jesus Christ was their Messiah and Lord. And number two, that their brothers and sisters who had made the same confession and who had been baptized in the same Lord were their family. And so it didn't matter who had the big house and who had the small house. It didn't matter who had the nice clothes and who had the ones with tatters and that were torn. It didn't matter who had a nice security situation and who didn't. What mattered was is our confession in Jesus, and we are a part of a community and we're family. And so if you need a home to live in, you can stay in mine. If you need food to eat, I'll share what I have with you and your family. Because we're family and we have a common faith in Jesus. That's where their worth came from. That's where their value came from. And what that caused those early Christians to do was, instead of holding on to their possessions with a tight grip, they held them on with open, held them with open palms. They still held them, but they held them with an open palm, and they were willing to share with those who had need. And how do we do that today? How do we have the possessions that we own to where we hold them with an open palm and an open hand, and we share with who has need? We're always going to have possessions. I think we definitely need to be discerning in how we spend our money. We don't need to go to extravagance. We need to be aware of what's really a luxury and what's a need. We don't need to go to excess, but we're always going to have possessions. We're always going to have things that that belong to us. The question is, what are you going to do with those things? How are you going to view those possessions? What is your perspective going to be on them? Are you going to hold them tight and think, I need to take really good care of these and control these because this is where my worth and value is? Or are instead, you're going to hold them with an open palm and be willing to share what you have because actually it belongs to God, and my worth and value is not found in these things. It's found in who my Savior is and in the fact that I'm a part of a community of believers. When I understand who I am in Jesus and whom I'm a part of in the church, it releases me. It releases me from having that stingy attitude that doesn't want to share because of all the problems and complexities it's going to bring. It releases me from having that possessive attitude that says, this is mine, keep your hands off. It releases me from having the fearful attitude that doesn't want to share because we're afraid of what might happen if we do. And instead, it frees me. It frees me to have the things that I have and be willing to share them with my brothers and sisters as they have need at any time. When I understand who I am in Christ Jesus, it gives me freedom, and freedom helps me to share. And whenever we see the church doing that, whenever we see people sharing with brothers and sisters as they have need, we get a glimpse. We get a picture of what makes the church special. And we saw this a few months ago here at Southside. As many of you know, this past summer we had a tragedy as one of our beloved deacons, Mike Thornburg, was killed in a car accident. What you may not have known, though, is that he was killed driving his son Aaron's car, actually truck. The truck was totaled and destroyed in the wreck. And there are several of us here that got it in our minds. We wanted to do something about that. We wanted to redeem that loss. Carl and Cheryl Unken started spreading the word to many of us to try to raise money to redeem the loss of that car. And within 2 weeks' time, over $20,000 was raised. And with the help of a gracious car dealer, we were able to redeem the loss of that truck by the church here blessing Aaron and the Thornburg family with a new truck. See on the screen. Pretty good. And what's special about that is not just the love that's shown and the mercy that was shown in that moment, is that in that moment that we saw what church is all about. This is what it means to hold all things in common. This is what it means to not consider what I have as my own, but be willing to share it with my brothers and sisters. That whenever there's someone who has a need, that we look at what we have and we say, I'll share it. I have an open palm, and I will share what I have. And because of that, a family was blessed. You see, church is not simply about sitting on a pew next to someone else or every Sunday singing some songs and then going home. Church is about being a part of a community where we participate and we share in that community. And when someone needs a helping hand, we're there on Tuesday to provide the helping hand. When someone needs a place to stay, we say, my guest room is open and it's got your name on it. And when someone loses a car in a tragedy, we pool our resources and say, let's give you a car because we're family. We have a common faith in Jesus. He is our Messiah and Lord, and we are fellow partners in the gospel, believers in Jesus. We're family. And this is what it means to be church, to share what we have with one another. So the invitation this morning is, come be a part of our family. Come be a part of God's family. Repent of your sins and confess faith in Christ and be immersed in water, and God will add you to his church. A church where we take care of one another and we watch over one another. And if you're ready to take that step, you can come to the front when we sing our song, or if you just need the church to pray over you or to encourage you in any way, we're going to have elders and ministers surround our auditorium. Just walk to one of them. They'll pray with you right there and encourage you in any way we can. Please come now as together we stand and sing.